All right, happy Sabbath to everybody.
Happy Sabbath.
It's a blessing to be here. Nice rain.
Yes.
We needed the rain. I was praying for rain earlier this week. The Lord has brought it so we can enjoy His blessings and see how things have sprouted up in the garden. We need the rain out of my garden. We got to go out there and harvest some of this stuff. Lettuce and collard greens are growing, peppers. All the good stuff. God has stuffed this earth with His goodness. After each day, He said, and it was good. The second day, the third day, it was good. So He stuffed everything in this earth that's good. You know, we need that to live off of, the things that come out of the earth. Nothing that falls out of the sky other than rain, you know, fresh water, but nothing out in space we need. Everything we need to live comes out of this earth. This suit that I got on, the house that we're in, everything came out of this earth. So everything for us to live spiritually comes out of Him. God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we sang a song earlier. We're coming to this house.
Mm-hmm.
And we were singing earlier, coming over here, listening to a song, House of Miracles. And I was singing that song early last night, listening to a nice song, sung by different ones. And you think about God's house. We are the house. As mentioned, we are His house. He expects certain things in us. He expects certain things in the house. You know, there was a great house in the world that has selected, as mentioned, their Pope, a signal to the world that, you know, that a new man is now on their throne. He's a head of state. The Vatican is a state agency. They have ambassadors. They have treasurer. They have a banking system. They have diplomats all around the world. And that is a story that was covered around the world internationally. It's a system that everybody knows about. And it kind of reminds you of a system that's in the Bible that everyone will come to know about, that will rise up out of the earth. It will be called a beast system. And that will also be a religious system that's well known as well. And they will say, in fact, let's go and take a look at that before we get started. I want to talk to you about the house of God, but we're going to cover this just for a minute here. It says, Revelation 18, verse 13, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, blasphemy, and power. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Revelation 13, verse 5. So this system's going to come on the scene, and we kind of get a preview of it, the international coverage. Everybody will know about it. Everybody will be a part of it. People will see the image. We kind of see the image now. You know, you can see the image of a governmental system is power. We've heard of the House of Commons over in England. We've heard of the White House, right? They make decisions in that house. We've heard of the Vatican House. First, a few people know about the House of God, the place where God dwells, and the impact that it's having in the world. You know, God wanted always to dwell with His people, and there's always been another system there to confront, there to oppose God's way of life. Remember in the Garden of Eden what happened? He had fellowship. Fellowship with Adam and fellowship with Eve. Well, before Eve was born, God talked to Adam before she was created. He talked to Adam. He said, well, there's not a helpmeet for him. I'm going to make him a helpmeet. He did that. But God wanted fellowship. He always has wanted fellowship with His creation. And we read about that. You know, after He said all things were good on the first through the sixth day, all things were good that He made. And He said it was very good. And something else was introduced into the garden that took that fellowship away. And God has always been about reconciling His creation back to Himself, reconciling them back to His house. And there's another image out there that's camouflaging God's truth, that's pretending to be the true church or the house of God. And God wants us to be mindful not to be caught off guard. Christ says we ought to pray that would be counted worthy to escape all these things, stand before him. He also said, don't be caught away because of all the deception that's out there in the world. So he wanted us to be very much aware, just as he wanted Adam and Eve to be aware. Satan and the devil came and presented themselves to him, them, and they were caught off guard. They didn't understand the impact of the sin until later on. You know, they had the whole kingdom taken away from them. Rulership, had fellowship broken in that house, that garden, Eden, the place where God dwelt. You know, Adam was created outside the garden. God brought him in the garden and told him to dress it and to keep it. Keep all the wild things, or keep things from growing wild. Maintain it. So we are the house of God, as mentioned in the song we sang earlier. And as I mentioned, there's a song called House of Miracles. And God dwells in us. And he has certain expectations from us. How we take care of our bodies. How we treat other people. What he sees going on in us. Does it reflect his character? Does it reflect, you know, what he wants us to do? We all struggle with things from time to time. So let's go over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We'll begin there. John 1. God has always wanted to dwell with his people, and we'll cover some of those scriptures where he talked to Israel. They were a prototype. They went through a lot of things. And Israel sadly began to think that it was all about them. A lot of times people are preaching the doctrine of who is Israel. They think it's all about them. It's race. One race. You have one group preaching that they're Israel, another group preaching that they're Israel. It's not that group, it's this group, that group. Christ says, in the beginning, John writes of him, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the life that was in Christ, eternal life, was the light of man. Can you imagine that? You are a flashlight to the world. That flashlight is the life of Christ in you. You are his house. As mentioned earlier, we are his temple. And his life is the light of men. The light that we have is the life of Christ, which lights the world. He goes on to say, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. You drop it down to verse 12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. Now he has a keen desire. This is in John chapter 1, verse 14. He has a keen desire. He's very much aware of everything we're doing. At all times, he sees us. God sees us at all times. And he's watching over us to see how we are living in these temples, in the house that he's chosen to place us. You know, we are housed in this flesh. The flesh is going to be laid to rest one day. Then the spirit goes back to God who gave it. Okay? John chapter 2. Jesus, verse 12, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and disciples. He continued there not many days, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. We just observed the Passover. Observed the days of unleavened bread. The cleansing of our bodies and our mind. The renewal, the revival that God wants us to participate in. The Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money. So they were interacting, conducting business transaction. They were selling all these things because they needed them to sacrifice. You know, they gathered all the animals together at the temple during that time to make great sacrifices. But they were doing some things inside the temple they should not have been doing. Now, we are the house of God. Now, think about this. When he had made a scourge of small cords and drove out of the temple and the sheep, he drove them out, the sheep and the oxen. Can you imagine oxen also? What's in us that needs to be driven out? What's in us that's crippling the impact of what God wants us to be doing? What's in us that a delight to him that testifies that we are doing the right thing? It doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to be a lack. It can be something that's good. Remember, he said he's the life and the light. That life was the light of men. So we are the shine. But he walks into this place and he found those who were doing things that should not have been done. He says, he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence and make not my father's house a house of merchandise. They were beginning to make the place where God dwelt a place, or where he should be dwelling, a place of merchandise. They've been used in the wrong way. They've been using the time the wrong way. Think about us. How are we using our time? How are we allowing others to use us? If we don't use our time properly, others will use it for us. If we don't schedule our time, others will schedule it for us. Events and circumstances will schedule your time for you if we use it wisely. We are the house of God. Let's go back and go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're the house of God, and God has expectations. We are not a city-state, so to speak, like the world system that's publicized a few days ago, the election that took place. God doesn't function that way. But we are a house. We are a royal nation of sorts. He says in 1 Peter, we'll just read down through here, 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking. Who is he talking to? The church. Now, he was there in the temple, we just read in John chapter 2. He saw them exchanging all these kind of things. Things going on, he said, don't make my father's house a house of merchandise. Now we see, when he's talking to the church, Peter's writing, look at these things going on, or that could possibly be going on. Malice, guile, hypocrisies, pretending to be something or saying that we're something that we're not, right? And God wants us to consider that. How do we show the world? Or what do we show the world? Is it that light that lights the world, or is it darkness? You know, you can go in a room full of smoke and you come out and you smell like smoke. You can go in a room full of unbelief, or in a church of unbelief. We don't believe that there should be a house of miracles. We are a house of worship. That's how the song goes. We are a house of praise. Beautiful song. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. We are a house of miracles. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. We are a house of miracles. Now, do we believe that? Christ came into his house. What did he find? People selling stuff. Then he talked to one of his main disciples who wrote years later, malice, don't let it be in the house of God. Malice, don't let him in the house of God. Gal, evil speaking. Now, do we ever speak evil of people? What about evil of other ministries? They don't do this, they don't do that. Do we do that? Do we tear down the body? Do we wound those who are out trying to fight the battle? They may not have on all the armor they should have on. Look at him. He's missing the armor. Staggering out there like a drunkard on the battlefield. We shouldn't do that. Peter says, don't speak evil of people. Evil speakings. As newborn babes now. He says newborn babes, but we really should grow up beyond that, right? You don't be a babe forever. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Okay. Paul talks about also the meat of the word too. He said, I fed you with meat. Milk. Because you can't handle the meat. So you got to start somewhere, but you can't stay there. Alright? That you may grow thereby. It shall be that you've tasted. We heard about that also. I think we heard about that. Or may have been a song in my head. Tasted that the Lord is good. Psalm 34. The Lord is gracious. Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. 34 verse 8. 7 margin here. to whom coming as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, as you are living stones. You are not a complex of international fame being elected to an office wearing a gown with a hat over your head symbolizing a fish. That's not you. No. He says you are a loving stone, a spiritual house, not something that you can touch and feel, you can touch people, house of God, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's what we should be doing. Now, when that election took place, you saw black smoke. No, that's not him yet. Black smoke on this hour, that hour. Then you saw white smoke. Oh, they found him. Like a lady had a baby. Oh, there the baby comes. They televised it. Y'all got to understand these things now. We got to understand these things. Wherefore, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, a precious stone. He that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. But unto them which are disobedient, who do not walk according to the ways of God, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. They are disallowing Christ, the cornerstone, to be in the place where he should be in education system, in corporate America, in all of our military, in every aspect, every sector of our society. They don't want him to be the cornerstone. They don't want him to be the building block. A stone of a stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient whereunto they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So when you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation. That's of God. That only comes of God. A peculiar people that should show forth the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why he chose us. That's why he allowed us to be out in this world, to be a light. Remember we read, the life in him was life, and the life was the light. So the life of Christ is the light of men. The life of Christ is the light that we shine in the world, that this is the way, walk in it. This is the pathway, walk in it. This is the way to the Feast of the Tabernacle. Hey, make your plans. This is the way to observe Pentecost. Make your plans to be there in the assembly. God's presence is always with us. Now, we come together as one. We use that phrase, coming together. But he's always with us. But when we come together, we're coming together as one in fellowship to honor him. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20, because I mentioned that God has always, Exodus 25, always wanted to be in the presence of his people. He always wanted to have them to think about this and move from the physical to the spiritual. All the physical things that they were doing, for them to understand, this is what I want to do. This is how I want you to be. I want you to be a house of miracles. I want you to be a house of praise. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, Exodus verse 25, that they bring me an offering of every man that gives it willingly with his heart. Now, don't give it grudgingly, Paul talks about. Oh man, there they go again, talking about money, talking about sacrifices. He said, look, give willingly. Every man that gives willingly with his heart shall take my offering. So if they don't want to give it willingly, hey, so keep it. Don't worry about it. You feel it's going to put you in some type of situation that's going to cause you to be discouraged or not wanting to give or disgruntled about it, hey, just go ahead and keep it. This is the offering which you shall take of them. Gold, silver. Where did they get all that gold and silver from? They're out in the wilderness. Remember God told them you ought to borrow of the Egyptians gold and silver, all those things? So they kept all that stuff. You know, before the Passover came. And they may have discovered some things out there in the wilderness. Who knows? He says, this is what you want to take from them, gold and silver and brass. Where'd they get brass from? You dig that stuff out of the earth, right? Where'd you get tools from to do all that? Blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair. ram skin dyed red, and badger skin and cinnamon wood, oil for lamp for the light, spices for anointing oil, and sweet incense, art stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God has always wanted to dwell among his people. He's always wanted to be the house. Think about that. God wants to be a house where he can dwell. And of course, he says, where is the house going to build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What are you going to build? I'm going to look to this man of a contrite heart. That's over in Isaiah. So God here is giving Israel a clue that he wants to dwell among them. Then they progress from that state to allow them to build a more permanent structure or fixture, and that was the temple. And God wants them to have that mind to understand that. Let's go over and take a look at that. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, you know, we just had a National Day of Prayer that comes and goes every year because we don't seem to be a nation that wants to repent, wants to change, to turn unto the Lord, so that we can receive even greater blessings that he has in store for us. But we have that every year. Solomon is here fulfilling a role that the Lord allowed him to partake and to do in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, David had stored up all kinds of things for the temple, and vessels and silver and gold, because God says, you're not going to do it, David. I'll let your son do it. So thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of God, verse 5, chapter 1, 5, verse 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1. So he's making something for the house of God. Solomon did this. It was finished, and Solomon brought all the things that David's father had dedicated, the silver, the gold, all the instruments, the treasure of the house. Solomon and some of the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes and the chief of the fathers, chief of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of God. It contained a few things. Look at verse 10. One thing. There was nothing in the ark save the two tablets. Moses made got the tablets that God wrote with the finger, I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Those things were written on the tablet, right? And he says there was nothing on those tablets or in the ark but the two tablets. So he's taking that ark and he's bringing it up to the temple. Now Christ tells us that we are to abide in his word, and we abide in his word abide in us, John 15, that we can ask anything. So we are like an ark where the word of God is, and we speak the word of God. We should be speaking the word of God. In fact, if you go hold your finger over at the second Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 23, and you'll see what it said of David. This is how we should be. 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23, these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me. His word was in my tongue. God's word should be in our tongue. We should be speaking the words of God, not things of the flesh. Therefore, Christ said, you know, abide in me, my words abide in you. You can ask what you will. That's why he said, you would say to the sycamine tree, be removed and plucked up, and be cast into the ocean, or go away, because his word abides in us. We speak his word. That's the confession. If we confess with our mouth, as Romans 10 says, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. That's a promise. That's a confession. Now, the devil wants to take that confession out of your mouth. Remember what he told Christ? If you are the Son of God, why don't you just cast these stones down? First thing he said, if you are. That's why we have to be careful about challenging someone's faith. If you say who you are, be careful about that. God's people. Now, people are out there living the wrong way. You know, they know. Some of them know they're not living the wrong way, the right way. They have to be told, this is the way, walk in it. But David, I just want to show you that he had the word of God in his tongue. You know, he didn't have a felt pen or ink pen writing on his tongue. He spoke the words of God. That's why we have all these Psalms. We read that. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. It's in his mouth. I'm going to make preparation for the feast. I'm going to be there on the Sabbath. I'm going to do these things that the Lord has commanded, because his tongue, his word is in our tongue. And we speak and we make decisions. We do all these things because we want to obey him. Because we are the house of God. So back to Samuel, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 10. So there was nothing in that ark other than the two tables of stone. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 10. And so Solomon prepared all these people. It came to pass when the priests would come out, the holy place. Remember, we just read we are a royal priesthood, the holy nation of Peter. And so they came out, the holy place, and the priests that were present were sanctified and did not wait by course at that time, because David ordained certain courses. Every 2 weeks they would have rotation. Otherwise, you get burnt out. You know, Abia. Different ones were in the temple carrying out the services. The Levites, which were the singers of all them, of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, and the sons of the brethren, being arrayed in white linen and having cymbals and psalteries and harps, they had string instruments. What are the string instruments? They had these string instruments. They were going to play to the praise of God. Do it for the glory of God. And they did all these things and stood at the east wing. So they were there. Can you imagine an orchestra of 120? And the trumpeters sounding with the trumpets. Can you imagine that? Verse 12. It came to pass when the trumpeters and the singer were as one, they made one sound. Okay? Sound to be heard of praising and thanking the Lord. And they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music. That's an orchestra. And praised the Lord, saying, he is good. His mercy endures forever. Bum, 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 bum. And the other string instrument. You got to let your imagination feel this. Like the earthquake that shook Tennessee and all the way down hundreds of miles in Atlanta. There was a thunderous sound of praise. Only thing they said was, praise the Lord, he is good. His mercy endures forever. And all the soprano, praise the Lord, he's good. His mercy endures forever. Let your imagination feel this. And the house was filled with a cloud. Not the smoke that came out of the chimney, signifying that an election has occurred. This smoke filled the temple. It was the glory of God. Even a cloud, with the cloud. So that the priest could not minister, stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. That was a physical manifestation of God's presence. We are the house of God. God wants to glorify his people. He's done that. Christ is that glory. He is the one. And as we are filled with him, his glory is in us. And if his glory, we believe that he's in us, he will be doing marvelous and wonderful things in us. As he promised, he said, you abide in me, my word abide in you. You're going to do greater works than the things that I'm doing. Why? Because he's going to be up on the throne. He's going to be doing those mighty and wonderful works through us. And the Father God will be glorified. It's marvelous. Wonderful things that he wants to do through us. But as he came into the temple and all those people were buying and selling, other people have scheduled our time. They called us up. They're talking and talking and talking. We may miss an appointment. We may miss the time of prayer, miss the time of fasting. You know, we have any number of things that we want to do, and the enemy is out there watching. Okay, how can I distract them? How can I get them caught off guard? How can I get them so busy? They even choose another career, the wrong path. And they won't fulfill God's purpose for them. They won't receive that great blessing. I feel sometimes like that you know, financial things or things that may help, maybe happen in the workplace, or you grow up and you don't fulfill what God wants you to fulfill. He doesn't want us to be like that. He wants to dwell in us. That's what we read there in Exodus 25. He wants to dwell in every person. Now, people are funny about things because we have to make decisions, and people do things the way they want to do. And they don't realize that God wants to do something great in their lives. Let's take another look at another scripture over in Matthew chapter 16. This house of miracles. We are a house of miracles. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. That grand chorus is singing that song. We are a house of miracles. So he gets around a certain number of people, Pharisees and others. They are saying all kind of things, and he says, you know what? This is a hypocritical nation. Verse 3. You hypocrites, Matthew 16. You can discern the face of the sky, but you don't even know the times, signs of the times. Brother Brown mentioned about the times, you know, understand the seasonal things that we are entering into, what's happening in the world. We can be so busy, we don't watch the news as much. I know I haven't watched as much as I should, you know, but you got to be keenly aware of what's going on around us. Christ is praying to be counted worthy to escape all these things that we see happening, all things, these things being put in place. Pray for your job, your manager. Pray to God grant you favor. And go before, send an angel, like you mentioned, get an angel before to prepare the economy. You know, God said he assigned an Israel angel to, with Israel in Exodus 23 to lead them into the promised land, to lead them to that land of milk and honey. He an angel. God wants to do marvelous things for us today, but these people here, he said they can't even discern the times. Verse 3. A wicked, verse 4, Matthew 16, an adulterous generation. Seek out the sign. There should be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Remember now, he had come to the temple earlier. And what was in there? Nothing but all kinds of stuff that was not representing God's temple. So he says to them, when the disciples will come to the other side, they forgot to take bread. He says, verse 6, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of that leaven. Now, we are to beware of leavening teaching. That's hypocritical. Things that are anti-Christ, anti-promises, anti-what he's told us that he will do, what he has done in us, what he wants to do through other people as well. So when we are not doing what he tells us to do, we are not being a testimony for other people to be encouraged to come in the ways of God, to walk in the ways of God. He calls people through us. That's what God has chosen to do. For our children, God calls you through us. You watch our lives, how we live, how we live it. We're doing the wrong thing, don't follow the wrong thing. You follow things that are right. Read his word and come to a state of repentance in your mind. Say, I have sinned, I've fallen short, and I want to receive God's gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's when you're baptized, you acknowledge your sin, and you confess those sins. You say, I don't want to walk that way, I need God's help. And you go down the waters of baptism, remember? Come back up, you walk in newness of life. That's what it's all about. We can't forget about what God told us to do. Go out and make disciples. Because he believed that the disciples could be made by his disciples. Because he was going to empower them. He said, I can't be with you always. It's expedient. It's necessary that I leave you. And I'm going to send another comforter. That comforter is going to come and going to work with you. Teach you all things. Bring all things back to your remembrance. You're going to go out into the world. You're going to proclaim this truth. And you're going to make disciples. But don't adopt this leavening agent. Don't allow your temple, your house, to be filled, your spiritual house, to be filled with things that are not productive, things that are not according to the ways of God. And we have to be aware. I have to be aware of that. You know, new role on my job. You can be so busy. And oftentimes I take time to read scriptures, you know, because you can take breaks. On your lunch break, you can read on your lunch break. Or else you can be always busy. You can read on your time that you take a break on your job. Remember that, young folk. You take a break on the job, don't let everybody schedule your time. Take time with the Word of God. So when you come home, you're not all tired and worn out. Oh, you got to read. You got to do this. No. You can have the freedom. Read the Word of God. He says, beware of the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. Okay. And Jesus perceived them talking about this, because we're taking no bread. He said, you just have such little faith. Why are you reasoning among yourselves that you have no bread? Now, these are people, they are becoming the house of the temple of God. Do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, how many loaves you took up? Neither the 7 loaves and the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spoke to you not concerning bread, that you should beware the leaven of the Pharisees nor the Sadducees? Then they understood, verse 16, that he said, it's not the leaven of bread, but it's the doctrine, the teaching. That teaching had such an impact on them, they brought all the money changers, all the doves, all those things were taking place in the temple. And the people out there, they just thought it was all right. So he comes down and he says, in the coast of Caesarea, verse 13, and he says, whom do the men say that I am, Peter? Who are people talking about that I am? He said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But whom do you say? What do you think? What do you think my life is all about? He said, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Jonas. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So God wants to reveal some things through us. He wants us to come to understand these things. I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Not Vatican City. Not a pope. Not a ecclesiastical structure that is contrary to the word of God. He says, you are Peter, and I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my called out ones. And the gates of hell, those things that bring about death, those things that bring about destruction, those things are not according to the word of God. They are not going to prevail against his church, against his house, against his structure. He says, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. If you got keys to something, don't you ever want to go into it? Don't you want to go into that place if you have the keys? And search and find out, take advantage of what's there. Whatsoever you're buying on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you sell loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. So I just want to point it out. Christ says, I'm going to build my church. He's going to build this structure, that spiritual house we just read about. So God called us to show forth his praise. Let's go over to John chapter 14. John 14. We are that house. John 14. Christ is talking to his disciples, and it's good to read this, you know. John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, read all these final words of Christ. So he's talking to the disciples, tell them that believe that, verse 10, believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Okay? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Remember David says, his words was in my tongue. Remember Christ tells us that you can say unto this mountain, be removed, to this tree, be plucked up, and it shall obey you, because we are speaking his word. If his word dwells in us, God gives not the spirit by measure to those who speak his word, to those whom he has sent. When we're speaking something contrary to the word, you know, we don't have all that we need to have. So he says, believe me that I'm in the Father, Father in me. Then drop it on verse 12. Believe me that I'm in the Father, Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 12, famous scripture, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these he shall do, because I am going to my Father. He's going to do the works in us. And we want those greater works being done in us. If we have other people scheduling our time, making us busybodies, we can't do it. That's one thing I hate, somebody schedule, just take you for granted. Schedule your time. Not my wife. But other people. People just assume, hey, no, I want to rest. Most of the time I just have one day of rest. You should be resting on the Sabbath. You should not have your day so scheduled on the Sabbath that you can't even rest, you can't even relax. You should be there to relax, relaxing, to be revived, to reflect on these things. Reflect on the first day, it was good. The second day, it was good. You know, we are in that count towards Pentecost. This is the fourth Sabbath. We have three more Sabbaths to go. 17th, 21st, and the 30th. There'll be 49 days, seven Sabbaths. And the next day, That Sunday will be the 50th. We are on the fourth Sabbath. And think about that. God rested on the Sabbath day. It was a memorial to his creation. He blessed it. Now, it's up to us to discover that blessing in the Sabbath. Part of it is the rest. Christ says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, with other people scheduling your time, mismanagement of our time, you know, wasting our time, the season of our lives, where we should be strong, running for the Lord, in our early 20s and 30s, roaring 40s, you know, relaxing 50s, and crambling 60s, whatever the case may be. We should be doing God's work at every season, and he gives us rest in each one of those. He said, come unto me and learn of me. I'm going to give you rest. He said, learn of me. Learn how he does things. Whatever job you have, how would Christ do that? I think about that. Lord, how would you do this? I've done things so many wrong ways. I said, okay, how would you do this? Help me do these things the way you want me to. Greater works. We can't understand those greater works if we are busy, not resting in him. He said, learn of me. Take my yoke and learn of me. I was reading yesterday how Solomon had died. God told him he's going to take the kingdom away from him because he had built so many houses of worship for the other gods. Just like our nation has done. Our nation has allowed other gods to be built, other houses of worship to be built in this nation because we have a commandment, a constitution that says, you know, we can't interfere with the right of assembly. Other people are taking advantage of it, and they're building other houses of worship. We're becoming an idolatrous nation. So Solomon allowed it to happen in Israel. 1 Kings chapter 10 and 11. And what happened? They turned his heart away. And what did he do? God took the kingdom away from him. Rehoboam, his son, he said, my father, they said, oh, would you please relieve the taxation? Would you please relieve the tribute that your father placed on us? It's so heavy. It's so burdensome. Christ said, I know you're heavy laden. Come on to me. I'll show you. Rehoboam, way back then, said, no. My father, he was a little picky upon you. I'm going to be like his thigh. I'm going to have you so weighted down. He did not listen to the counsel of the elderly, or older people who knew better. He wanted to listen to the young folk. So we have to be aware of that. So Christ says, come unto him, and he will give us rest, and we can do these greater works. I have to be reminded of that myself. How far have we strayed? These holidays are designed to kind of give us that revival type of mentality, mindset, to be stirred up. Paul told Timothy, stir yourself up, Timothy. God is not giving you the spirit of fear, but love and of a sound mind. You got to stir yourself up. This message I'm giving to you might not even stir you up. You who are listening online, you got to stir yourself up. You got to read the scripture yourself. Christ says, I will bring back to your remembrance all the things that I've said. Now, if you're not putting anything in your heart, you're not reading the scriptures, how are you going to remember anything? You're not fasting. I'm not fasting. Church not fasting. You know, we're not doing what he told us to do. Go out in the community. Go out into all the world, every system, every sector of society. Make disciples. Proclaim the truth. He's going to do the work. We sow the seed. And we said, no, we're going to keep the seeds right here on the countertop, on the table, on a rock. I got a bunch of seeds in the laundry room in a plastic bag. They will produce nothing if they're not placed in the earth. But I did put a bunch of them out there in the garden, and it had blossomed. Hundreds of seeds. And those seeds will produce thousands upon seeds every season. I have so much food, we won't be able to eat it. That's what those seeds will do. But if we don't ever plant what he's given us, his word is the seed. We are his house. We don't take that learning, those key learnings, go out in that world and plant those things, how are people going to ever know? How are these greater works ever will be fulfilled? Dropping down to verse 22. Judas Iscariot, said, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 23, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Remember the words in David's tongue? That's why he wrote all those songs. He will keep my words, verse 23. My Father will love him. We become and make our abode with him. We become the house of God. We become the temple of God. Paul says, don't you know you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Remember we read back in Exodus chapter 25, he says, gather together all these things. I want you to build a dwelling place. I want you to build a tabernacle for me. And that's what God wants us to be, that tabernacle. Let's go over to the book of Revelation. Revelation, because once this temple has been built, this church, Christ said, I'm going to build my church. Now, he's evaluating what we're doing. He's checking on us to see how we're progressing. Are we having faith? Are we getting sidetracked? And we have here God so much concerned about us that he had John to write down a whole book, 21 chapters. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must come to pass. Remember Christ says you can't even discern the times. You read that in Matthew chapter 16, Pharisees. He said you can't even discern the times. So God says, okay, I'm going to send them a message. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to show you things that must come to pass shortly. And he signified it by an angel unto his servant, who bear record of the word of God, this word now, he keeps talking about this word, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things which he saw. It's the testimony of Jesus. Blessed is the man that reads, or blessed is he that reads. Now we've got to set a time, set aside time to read the word of God. We've got to do that. Right? If you set aside time to eat, you feed your body so that you can grow. If you don't set aside time to eat the word of God, you won't grow spiritually. But we're going to grow spiritually because we're going to set aside time. We're going to do that. I try to encourage my children to do that, to read God's word, to pray. He said, blessed are those that read, so there's a blessing in it. They read, verse 3, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, and hear, so you're hearing these words been read to you, the words of this prophecy, I want to read some of it to you, and keep those things, we already read some in Revelation 13, keep those things that are written therein. So he says, you're blessed. So you're starting off with a good foot. You're blessed already because you are reading and you are hearing the word. Could be you're reading to yourself, you hear your voice, others are reading the word of God, others are explaining God, the word of God, or God is speaking to your spirit. You're hearing, you're walking in that way, you're keeping those things, so you're blessed. So that's one blessing that everybody should be able to get, right? So it goes on to talk about these things. And then now in chapter 2, he said, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, right? These things says he that holds seven candlesticks in his right hand and walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks. Now, he had already said the candlesticks are the churches. He's the house. He's examining. He's walking around. He's saying, what is in my house? What in the world? Remember Peter said, lay aside all the malice, all the guile, all the hypocrisies? He was writing that letter because he was reminding the people, you can catch those things, like smoke in the air, go outside, and you smell like smoke coming in the house. You can be smelling like hypocrisy, smelling like a malice, smelling like envy, smelling like those things. He's running the church. He said, wait a minute now. I'm walking in the midst of the candlesticks. What do I smell? I know your works. I know your labor, your patience, how you cannot bear them that are evil. You have tried them, what say the apostles, and are not. You found them liars. You are able to prove these things. You are proving people are wrong. You are doing that. You are born, verse 3. You have patience for my name's sake. You've labored. You have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. You've left your first love. Remember he said to love God with all your heart. Matthew chapter, Mark chapter 12. Let's see, make sure I get that right. Mark chapter 12, he's telling a young man there, the people are asking him, the scribes, one of the scribes, verse 28, Mark 12, verse 28, heard him reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, he said, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus said, the first commandment of all, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Second is like unto it. You shall love the Lord, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Putting God first. To love him. Did this church miss that? They were proving other people are wrong. You're not keeping the Sabbath, you're not keeping the holidays. You tried those, say the apostles, you found them liars. You've done that. But really, you left your first love. You left off doing what God told you to do. Remember, Simon, Simon, loveth you more, me more than these people? Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Simon, Simon, do you love me more than these? Well, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Simon, Simon, do you love me more than these? John chapter 21. Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Have they left off feeding the sheep? Have they left off doing what God told them to do? They were to go out and make disciples. They were to show their true love towards God and obey Him. John 17, Christ says, Father, as you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. Are we making disciples, or have we made excuses? Well, it's too hard out there, or they don't want to hear. Well, still sow the seed. I look at this and I say, well, man, they left. Christ says, you left your first love. Is it to love God with all your heart? He said, therefore, repent from which you are falling. Do the first work, or else I will come against you quickly. Now, what were the first works? How did they become a church? They became a church because they assembled together. God gave them His Spirit. They became a body of believers. Did they leave off doing those things that were needful to strengthen the body? Let your mind ask yourself. It could be any number of things. Because he goes on and talk about the other churches as well. Church of Smyrna, he said, I'm the first and the last, verse 8, which was dead and is alive. I know your works, your tribulation, your poverty, that you are rich. And you blaspheme with those which say they are Jews, they are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which shall come upon you. Do you fear to make decisions to follow Christ? Are we fearing? Are we fear what's going to come upon us? He said, don't fear those things which you shall suffer. Verse 10, he says, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. You shall be tried and tested. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be you faithful unto death, I will give you a crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. And he that overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Church of Pergamos. These things, he said, he that has a sharp sword. I know your work. He goes on. I even know what Satan's seat is. You hold fast my name, not deny my faith. Even the days when Antipas, my faithful martyr, was slain among you, where Satan dwells. I have a few things against you, because you have them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught my people, taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. There were those who were committing fornication in the church, just like 1 Corinthians. The man had his father's wife, and they were puffed up about it. The leavening had crept into the house. That was a church that he said, you know, you came behind a no gift. You had healings, you had miracles, you had all those things. But it had these things going on that need to be addressed. And Christ goes down through it, even chapter 3, verse 1. Sardis, seven churches of God. He that had the seven spirits of God. Seven stars. I know your works, but you have a name that you live and you are dead. You're dead. You're not even alive and doing the works. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Some believe in miracles, some do not. Come alive. Make straight the path of the Lord. Let's go back to Isaiah as we kind of wind down here. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. House of God. We talked about it. We sang about it. We had international events happening in the world where they claim that they are the house of God. And God says He built him a house. We are that house. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. There came forth, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch that shall come out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's what determines the house of God, where the Spirit of the Lord is. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's what we want resting upon us as we go out. To have wisdom, to have understanding, to have counsel, to have knowledge in the fear of the Lord and the might of God. To make us of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight. Now, people will get you in a situation where you're judging according to the flesh. You're judging according to skin color. You're judging according to any number of things, according to where you live in the neighborhood, where you live in the country, according to your job status, any number of things. People judge you for all kinds of ways. He says, he gonna make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, not in the fear of man. So he wants us to understand that. And drop down to verse, let's see here. Let's continue reading. We're just going to conclude here. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove with equity the meek of the earth, and smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. The righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf and the shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall eat them. He's going to change even nature of animals. It's going to go back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden, before it was disrupted by deception. They came into the house of Eden, came into the garden. The cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together, verse 7, Isaiah 11. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The suckling child shall play over the hole of an asp, this poisonous, venomous snake. Weaned child shall put his hand in the cockroach's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. God's not going to allow to bring about destruction anymore. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. He's going to change the earth. He's going to make the whole earth his house. I said that's the last scripture, but let's go over to the last chapter in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66. He says, the heaven is my throne. Isaiah 66 verse 1. The earth is my footstool. Where is the house you built unto me? Where is the house of miracles? Where is the house of God? Christ said, I will build my church. We read about the spiritual house. He's made us a house. Where is the house you built unto me? Where is the place of my rest? We're building so many things. People are building so many things that are contrary to what God wants. He said, where is the place I'm going to rest? All those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, says the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, that trembles at his word. So God wants us to be mindful of his word. He wants us to be mindful that his word should be in our mouths, on our tongue, to speak it, not speak our own way. He gives us a mind to think. It doesn't mean that we have to be reading the Bible to everybody. But make decisions about your life, where you want to go in life, based on the word of God. And just wait and just see how he's going to direct your path. He got angels all about us. We don't even see them. He's navigating everything. He's building whole industries to take care of you. You. He's building a whole infrastructure of things to care for us. Even a kingdom and a place for us. He's building that. His house. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions or many abiding places. So we are to come alive in the name of Jesus, and rest, and believe, and live, and allow him to do in us all the miracles, all the things he desires to do.